Hey there, podcast listeners.
Welcome back to the third season of the Bridge Stories podcast. We are your hosts,
Bianca
and Nick,
both from the class of 2021
at UWC in Mostar.
Every Saturday, we'll cover a current global issue from our guest's personal lens.
Thank you for being here. We really hope you enjoy.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Bridges Stories podcast. On this week's episode, we have a new guest. If you'd like to introduce yourself with your name, your age, and where you're from.
Hi, thanks for having me. My name is Duru. I'm 19, and I'm from Turkey.
Thank you so much for coming on. Could you please give a brief overview of the political issue we're going to be talking about today?
Okay, so this isn't a new issue, and it's actually prominent probably like everywhere around the world, but it's been coming up a lot recently, probably in the last like 5 to 10 years. But it's about just like safety of women and femicides and domestic abuse, and especially like hate crimes towards like women and LGBTQ members, essentially non-men, I would say.
Mm-hmm. So can you just tell us what happened last week that is like of importance in this issue?
So in 2011, if I'm not wrong, there was a convention, quote unquote, signed with the backing of EU. It was initiated by President Erdogan, actually, and it was for protecting, like giving extra protection to women who were victims of domestic abuse and violence and just like murder, essentially. Mm-hmm. And it's been a big, like, it's been a long issue that women go to the police and ask for restriction orders, but the court takes too long, and by the time they can actually get the restriction order, or like something happens, or like it takes long to process and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So then this convention was signed within the EU with a lot of signing countries. I don't know the number, but it's called the Istanbul Convention. And what happened was the past week or last week, I don't really remember, President Erdogan released this official statement from the presidential office saying that because of like certain reasons, they will be withdrawing their signature from the convention. And it was personally signed off by the president and not the parliament, and no such mm-hmm. like group or anything. So it was a personal decision. Mm-hmm. And this like sparked a lot of outrage because recently, I mean, it's like roughly a yearly average of like 300 to 400 women being murdered every year. But recently there was a big, because social media has a big like place in our politics, because the news sources are usually biased, so we use social media, and it was often brought up that within like 2.5 months of 2021, 68 women were murdered already. And actually, as of yesterday, within 12 hours of each other, 6 women were murdered, and all by men, and usually ex-partners, and just like men that refuse to take no for an answer. And yeah, it's just a really big problem. Mm-hmm. And the like withdrawal from the convention is just fueling the fire at this point.
You mentioned that there's outrage sparking in Turkey because of it. Could you give me a little more specific about that? Can you tell mm-hmm. us like what exactly is going on? Like, are there protests, or is it just sticking to social media?
So as it does like happen in my experience as well, like throughout the years, it always happens that the news reach like the common folk, and usually like the youth, or like predominantly like social media users will talk about it online. And even though it's quite risky to do so, because there have been people who were sued and arrested because like speaking like negatively of the ruling party, but so usually it's hashtags or just like a lot of sharing of like certain videos, which is, it's actually very graphic. Sometimes there are videos or like voice recordings of like the actual crime happening, and these just surface and they circulate. And then following this, probably within a couple of days, people group up, and certain certain NGOs that like serve a purpose, especially in this case, mm-hmm. like serve for women's rights, and especially like protecting them and providing them like legal assistance mm-hmm. and raising awareness about this issue, they usually quickly like come up with an action plan, which also it happens very often, so it's usually the same kind of procedure. And so they come up with like times, meeting points, and recently that's what happened. So a lot of people went to protest in these certain like squares or boulevards. And what happens there is usually the police, because ever since like 2013, where like a big protest turned into like riots and it was a big deal. Ever since then, the police is very anti-protest, like also is the government. And so the police usually comes with riot gear and like crowd like controlling like equipment, and it usually turns violent really quick. And like in this protest, it was for women's rights, but like funny enough, women were definitely like disproportionately affected within the protests, where there was this image that resurfaced from after a couple of days, and it was just like 6 or 7 police vans and like at least 30 to 40 police officers circling with their like riot gear. And in the middle, there were just 15 to like 20 women that were trying to protest. And it's all peaceful protests as well. Like there is no like violence incited by the protesters. And it just kind of goes south. And then following that on social media, there's another wave from the right wing and like the supporters that obviously openly support the government and then, you know, denounce the movement. And then it kind of just goes around in a circle mm-hmm. every other day.
Yeah, and kind of going to like international reactions, have you seen international condemnation for this at all or mm-hmm. not really?
The first thing I saw was Amnesty International posting about it, and like from like with a photo from the protests, and it was like nice to see like some recognition about the issue and people talking about it, as well as I would say like international news have picked it up quite quickly, like within Europe mostly, because the convention was backed by the EU, and so following Poland in the recent year, Poland also pulled out of this convention, and there were a couple of anti-LGBT laws that were passed and all these movements. And so within this movement, like a lot of people who supported this current cause also were speaking up about it. And so, you know, the common denominator being like the same kind of like youth mm-hmm. and social media, then like also European news picked up, and obviously because they're really big on human rights and yeah. this is a big problem, so.
Definitely. Yeah. Yeah, and kind of what does this mean for women in Turkey, do you think? Like, does this now mean that there'll be, you know, a worsening of the situation, do you think? Mm-hmm. Or will things not really change that much?
Honestly, like thinking about it, I genuinely think that, like, we have seen it within the past few days, like, the effects of this decision has been very quick to show itself, and we can see that, like, the number of, like, murders have already increased, and I would say that there's a general attitude that's fueled by, like, the government officials and them speaking out very, like, you know, making very misogynistic statements, as well as them supporting a lot of religious figures that also like denounce like the existence of women, and mm-hmm. they've really insult and just refuse to acknowledge that women can have like the same rights as men as well. And so a lot of people, as well as taking like all these political like figures as an icon, they also like support these figures that are religious, and so both of them showing like hate towards women, it really fuels the fire. And I feel like it's a very common thing that we face as women in Turkey, that not even like physical violence, but definitely like catcalling and, you know, harassment on the street. And say like the other day, it's a relevant example, I'd say like one of my friends went to get tested for COVID, and at the information desk they collected her number, and someone just texted her out of the blue saying like, oh, did you get COVID? And they were like, sorry, like, excuse me, who are you? And the person was just like, oh, I just, you know, I was the guy at the desk, like, I just wanted to contact you. And she was like, oh, this is just very unprofessional, and like, this is just not okay to do. And he was like, oh, I don't understand why you're getting so mad. Like, you gave me your number, you didn't have to. But it's like, you know, she's at the hospital, she's giving information to the hospital. So anyway, just like the misuse of just like certain situations, and I would say it's very common, and definitely in light of the certain like recent events, it's definitely increased, and I can see it on social media. And you know, I follow a lot of NGOs again, like following this issue up close, and it's just very upsetting. And it's not just an issue of adult women, it's also immigrants, it's also children that have to witness these issues, it's also children that are getting molested by the same violent men. And it's just fueled by like, it's connected to so many issues, such as like obviously politics, as well as like economy, as well as like the prison industrial complex, like so many other problems. And given that, like, I would say the community is on a very like fragile state right now. Everyone's sort of lashing out, be it like either side.
So you mentioned COVID, and so as previously like mentioned, there's been an increase in domestic violence rates with COVID happening. Is there anything else in Turkey specifically with this, with everything else going on, that COVID's impacted directly?
I would say, like, in this context especially, the fact that starting with young women, just, like, girls, they have to go to school online, meaning that, like, we have a very, like, patriarchal society, and, like, in the culture, girls are supposed to, you know, like, I wouldn't, like, some very explicitly serve, some just, like, go out of their way to, like, you know, just provide like little services around the house for the fathers, for the older brothers, or any like male in the house. And you know, this has definitely increased, so girls are forced to stay home and, you know, do school online. But also, given the demographics, like, not everyone can have access to actually online education, so these girls are just forced to stay home. Same with adult women that can't go anywhere, and that most of them don't work as well, and so those who don't work are stuck at home, and the men and in the house are also stuck at home because of COVID, and like, it just fuels the fire, and like, it sparks a lot of like domestic, you know, conflict. And similar to this, it's like more on a more economic perspective. Like, the numbers are rising for unemployment, as well as like taxes are increasing, the prices are increasing because of the devaluation of our currency against like foreign currency. So the imported goods are just very expensive. Meanwhile, the minimum wage is like, it doesn't have much power against the increase in prices. And so all the stress that comes with, you know, quote unquote providing, which is, you know, predominantly done by men because of like the history and the culture. So then that just brings a lot of stress, and it definitely, I would say, in my opinion, fuels a lot of violence, and definitely also like gaslighting and, you know, other types of manipulation, coercion. And I forgot to mention, but it's that there's also a lot of unreported issues like going on, such as like the numbers that we were talking about are only murders, where we don't talk about sexual assault. Obviously, we don't talk about sexual harassment, and we don't know anything that goes in anyone's homes unless it's reported. And also because of COVID, because the prison system like is not very functional, and it's very like overcapacitated. So some criminals, like, just, I wouldn't say criminals, but like some felons were given leaves during the coronavirus crisis. And I don't really know the terms of that, but it's happened that these like criminals with a past of, say, sexual assault or like just general like very like gruesome violence have been let out somehow because of coronavirus, while these journalists and politicians are still in jail, and they're just roaming the streets, and they're like assaulting women, and some have already murdered a bunch of women. So it's just, everything goes hand in hand, and you know, just it builds up over time and it really doesn't help that be signed out now.
Definitely, yeah. Definitely. And so kind of closing off, what do you kind of hope that happens in Turkey in the future now that this has happened? Do you expect something like a big movement to happen or something great to happen to stop this? Or are you not as hopeful?
Honestly, when I think about it, just everything that's been happening recently in the recent years, I would say, have been under the rule of the ruling party, which has been in the rule for almost 20 years now. And I'm 19, so I was born into this, and I've grown up with this and all these political, you know, like very tense climate. And so just in my experience, like the way I've seen things happen and play out over time, it just so happens that something big like this will spark outrage and there will be protests. And no matter how big these protests get, the government is so powerful that anything that they don't want to see on the streets or they don't want going against them, they will shut it down somehow. And I, in my opinion, like my perception at least, there definitely is a problem with corruption as well in the different areas of government. And so they do have a lot of power. So no matter how much we try or how much we organize or how much, you know, like outrage we might, you know, initiate, it just, I don't think it will do anything that big. And honestly, I'm not saying that it's all going to be fixed if the opposition wins either, or just any other party, because at this point, the damage has become permanent. And I think it's just going to take decades and decades to actually go, like, take the steps again and go back to where we used to be, say, back in 2000s or the 90s. And it's definitely not going to happen overnight, and I don't think it's going to happen today either. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Thank you so much, Duru.
Thank you for coming on.
No, thank you guys for having me.